Let's have a wonderful hand of applause to each and every one that will be watching today by internet. We're going to continue our series on Bible heroes. We are concentrating, of course, on Noah. We got introduced to him last week, and we appreciate all the comments that were sent to us about Noah. Noah is a godly man in an ungodly world at the time. Let's see how God uses him. Brother Larry, if you're ready with some scripture, here we go. We're going to do a real quick review before we get into where we're heading to today. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his hearts was only evil continually. We said last week, here's the stage set. Many people on the earth at the time, and all that seems to be going on is evil. Evil, evil. Anything that is against God is evil. They didn't care about God, didn't mention God, didn't want to have anything to do with God. God's watching, God's looking, God made a decision. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. It repenteth me. I said last week, this reads as if God made a mistake. God didn't make a mistake. All God said was, I gave man free will and he's messed up. And I'm going to straighten it up. Listen to me very closely as we get into this. Whatever kind of mess that man can make, God will straighten it out. We live in a world today that's a mess. We live in a world today where there's sin everywhere. We live in a world today where God is not acknowledged in any way, shape, or form. God will straighten that out one day. He's coming. He has the right to come and to take care of those who fight against him. You're either on his side or you're not. That's the choice. This was the day and age. This was the group. This was the people. This was the decision they made. They did not want anything to do with God. God said, fine. You don't want to have anything to do with me. I will destroy you. All right, Brother Larry, here we go. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Found grace, found favor. God liked him. You know why God liked him? It's because he liked God. He acknowledged God. He tried to live for God. He made sacrifices to God. He was a godly man, and his family was godly because they concentrated on him. God knows his people who belong to him. He knows you, if you belong to him. If you don't belong to him, he knows that as well. But he loves you, and he wants you to be a part of his family. But the choice is always yours, and you're going to see a big choice here in a minute. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them on the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms thou shalt make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. In a moment, as we get in this, he's going to actually just give him an entire diagram of how he wants his ark made. All right, Brother Larry. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth 50 cubits, and the height 30 cubits. Now, a cubit is a little more than a yard. A yard is what? 3 feet. So a cubit is actually a yard and a half, so it would be 4.5 feet. Now, when you look at this, and I'm not big on math, but I think you can figure this out. You take these numbers, you divide them in half and add to it, and that's basically what you got. So if you take 300 cubics, when you divide it in half, that's 150. Add that to it, that's 450 cubits. When you look at it, it equals out to about 150 yards. It's as big as a football field and the half length of a football field added to it. Now, you can say, oh, well, we got bigger ships than that in the world today. Yeah, but they didn't have to build them by wood. I want you to really see this, all right? 450 foot long, 100 yards in a football field. If y'all watched Louisville play yesterday, you know how many yards is in a football field, don't you? Ooh, that was a close game, people. Woo! Shouldn't have been, but it was. So basically, a football field and add another half to it, that's how big it is. Now look at this. And the breadth, 50 cubits. And the height, 30 cubits. Basically, and just not to get back into a math lesson again, it's going to be 75 feet wide. It's going to be 45 feet tall. That's 4.5 stories. All right? Do you get that? 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet tall. This, in Noah's day, was a project. Not a weekend project. This is a project. Now, can you imagine when he's telling Noah, here's what I want you to build. Are you kidding me, God? Goes on to describe this. A window thou shalt make to the ark, and in the cubits thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shall be set in the side thereof, with the lower, second, and third stories shall make it. Now, I'm not getting into all of the details here, but this is sort of cute when you look at it. Understanding what's going to go in the ark. He says, basically, let's put a window all the way around it. And about 3 foot below, when it says here, thou shalt finish it above, wherever the water line is going to come up, it's going to be above the water line. Now, why in the world do they need all them windows in that ark? Animals stink. Oh, can you imagine? If I was on a ship with something like that, I'd want some windows. Not necessarily to see out, although that will, but of course, the ventilation is going to be important. Say amen.
Amen.
I'm just trying to teach you here. All right. And the door thou shalt set on the side thereof. It's going to be a big door. A lot of animals, big animals, small animals. Got to have a door. You got to be able to get inside it. Okay? And with lower, second, and third stories thou shalt make it. Inside, it's 4.5 stories, or it's 4.5 stories tall, as I'm thinking. So obviously, you're going to have enough room there to have 3 stories. Why? Some of these animals don't get along. It's going to go in the ark. You take a pair of everything? Oh, no. You think that rabbit wants to be beside that tiger? Oh, I don't think so. Can you imagine the conversation that's going to take place there? You wait till I get out of here. You belong to me. So obviously, he's got to separate all this crew. No wonder it's got all these levels. Can you imagine how many animals are going to go in this thing? And he, you know, it's not just the building of the ark. Look at all the inside. It's got to happen. You know, we're not talking about just a shell. Look at all how big this is. 3 different stories. Places for all of these animals. What a job. Can you imagine it in your mind? What a job. Lord, Larry, you'd make this little deal you and Mike did back here look like a walk in the park, wouldn't it? But I mean, you could build that, couldn't you, Larry? No, you couldn't build that. Yeah. Not this late in life, you couldn't do it? Yeah. That's right. Would you find out how old Noah was when he started this? All right, here we go. Anytime you're ready, Larry's fine with me. I'm just. Don't talk back to me. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh. Wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is in the earth shall die. Sounds like an attitude to me, doesn't it? It's going to happen again pretty soon, folks. But with thee will I establish my covenant. With thee, being Noah, I will establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wives, and thy sons' wives with thee. That's cute, isn't it? We're gonna put you on the ship. We're going to let your wife go. Isn't that wonderful, men? Say amen. We're going to let your wife go. All right. He's got three sons. We're going to let your kids get on there too. More than that, we're going to let your sons' wives get on there. We're going to let the in-laws on there. God's a gracious God, honey. I mean, if you had to build a ship, you'd want your in-laws on there, wouldn't you? Yeah, sure. Yeah, exactly. All right. So, he says, anything that means anything to you is going on the ship. Wives with thee. All right, here we go, Larry. Thank you. And of everything, of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, birds, and of cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing of the earth of his kind. Why the creepy thing? I don't know, but it was on there, all right? Creepy thing. Do y'all know anybody in your family creepy? Whew. Of the earth of his kind, two of every sort shall come unto them to keep them alive. You notice he's preserving something here. He's preserving mankind. He's also preserving the animals. We've had to learn to live together. Believe me, they all have a purpose under heaven. All right, Brother Larry. And take thou unto thee all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. Can you imagine how much food is going to take to feed these eight people and all of these animals? So there were other animals on this ark that had to be there for food. They were there for one reason, for food. No wonder this thing was so big. Now, I went through this pretty fast because I wanted to get to verse 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. An outline. Here's what I want you to build. Here's how big I want you to build it. Here's how I want you to build it. Here's the kind of wood I want you to build out of it. Here's the levels I want inside of it, because I'm going to put all these animals in there. Your family's going to get to go with you. Windows all the way around it. Huge door on the side of it. And I want you to start today. Now, I can only try to imagine when this was given to Noah, what he was thinking. Now, what was he thinking? Because God let him in on something. Listen to me closely. God let him in that he was going to destroy mankind and the animals too. But he said, I'm going to save you and your family and the animals. He's basically going to build this to save his own wife. Now think about this with me a minute. Because if God says he's going to do something, what do you think he's going to do? He's going to do it. If you listen to the internet, you listen to me very closely. God's word says he's going to do it. He's going to do it. Now, as we look at this, we don't have time to get totally all into what happens. But he also told Noah, he said, I'm going to give the world 120 years to repent. He said, we're going to put a timetable to it. Basically, he's going to give him that long to build this thing, this ark, this boat, this ship. Now can you imagine, as he starts to build this, people are going to start asking questions. People are going to start wondering, what are you doing? Why are you doing it? What's all of this about? Why would you build something of this magnitude, this size, and this time in history? Why would you do that? God told me to do it. You don't have to apologize. I'm glad my mother took me out and fed me. I mean, I'm a little skinny now, but I mean, I'm
glad you fed me at the time. Noah did what I asked him to do. What a task. And however many times I've studied this, however many times I have preached on this, it still amazes me when I think that Noah took on this job, building this ark. Year after 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 year. People not wanting to help him. People making fun of him. Because during this whole time, while he's building this, this is going to become a very conversational piece, if you will. People are going to be asking him questions. When they ask him, he's going to be able to speak on behalf of God. I'm building this because this is what God asked me to do. He's going to destroy the world. But there's room on here for you if you want to come. As he builds it, as he builds it, as he builds it, as he builds it, people come up to him and say, "What are you doing?" "I'm building a ship. I'm building a boat." Why? Because the rain's going to come. God's going to destroy the earth. He preached and he preached and he preached and he preached. Now, I tell this all the time because I really truly believe this to be the heart of God. This is a big ship. But I believe with all of my heart, anybody, anyone, any place, any time during this whole process that it takes to build this ark, if they had said, "Noah, I want to get on this boat with you because I believe what you're saying about God," I believe there'd have been a space on that boat for anybody in that time in history that wanted to get on that ship. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of applause. He builds it, he builds it, he builds it, he builds it. Gets bigger, 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 bigger. On dry ground. Now, I said last week, it's a little bit of a joke. I said, everybody knows that I have a boat. Monica and I love water. It's a place where we can go and relax and really see the grace of God. And it's wonderful to be out there. But if I came out here and just threw my boat off the trailer and laid it out here in this parking lot and said, "Well, you know, I think one day we're going to have a flood up here, so I just want it up here on the parking lot in case I need it." Well, I mean, that really wouldn't be too funny. A boat, no trailer, sitting out here in the parking lot, sitting on dry ground, and I'm saying it's going to rain one day, we're going to need it. Well, I mean, you need to go to another church. You know, you need to put me in a straitjacket. You need to put me in a rubber room. You need to put me away somewhere. Who does that? Who does that? I mean, who in the world does that in their right mind? I mean, that's crazy. Boat is meant to be on water. Boat is useless on dry ground. I didn't go over your head on that, did I? I want to make sure you understand that. A boat is useless on dry ground. Some of you here own boats. They're no fun up on the trailer. They sit up on the trailer, they're no fun. If they sit on dry ground, they're useless. They're only good, what? If they're on water. So now here this boat's getting bigger, bigger, and bigger. The bigger it gets, the more fun they're going to make of it. Because he's preaching, 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 and preaching. One time at an ordination service many years ago, a young man was being ordained into the ministry, and I was invited to preach what they call the charge to the minister. And I actually chose this subject, which was pretty unusual for an ordination service. But I said, "What you have to understand, if you're truly called to preach, you may preach and go on for weeks, weeks, months, months, years, years, I don't know. And nobody may never walk down this aisle. You may go for a long time, never see anybody saved, never see anybody at the altar, never see anybody rededicate their lives. And when that happens, Satan's going to come into you and he's going to question, try to put questions in your mind. Maybe I'm truly not called to preach. Maybe I'm truly not called to be a minister." And they put doubts in your mind. You doubt how you preach, why you preach, what you preach. And you doubt, and you doubt, and you doubt. And your faith just dwindles, dwindles, and dwindles. But I'm here to tell you, if God has called you to preach, and only you can determine that, It won't make any difference. Some preachers see people walk down the aisles every day. We got preachers that pastor churches that's got thousands and thousands and thousands of people. We got evangelists that preach to millions and millions of people. But there are no more important in the eyes of God than the little preacher who preaches in front of people at a church or church somewhere out where maybe they don't have decisions all the time. If God's called you to preach, you need to preach God's word. Here's a prime example. Here's a man who preached for over 100 years, and all they did was make fun of him. Making fun of him, they also made fun of someone else, God. You know, when we talk today about the end of time coming, people get all irritated over that. Some of them get nervous over that. They don't want to talk about that because they're not ready. They don't understand what it means. But folks, I promise you, they were getting tired of hearing Noah. They're getting tired of hearing it. They're getting tired of hearing preachers today preach about the end of time, because a lot of preachers have been doing it for a long time. But if you know God's word, you know that everything that God said he would do, he will do. He told Noah what he was going to do, and he didn't do it until 100 and something years later. But he did it. He says he's coming again. He's going to do it. The Bible talks about a trumpet that's going to be sound. The next time it's not going to be rain, because he promised at the end of this situation, he said, I'll never do this again, and I'm going to send you a what? As a covenant that I'll never do it. What he say? Rainbow. Next time it won't be destroyed with water. It's going to be destroyed with fire. And he's coming. He's coming. He's coming. It's preached. It's preached. It's preached. It's preached around the world. It's preached on the internet. It's preached on TV. But Noah did the same thing in his day. But what we have to understand is this. There were people who got on that ark. And I guarantee you, and when they get on there, we're going to talk about this next week. Here's where some real faith comes in. Just a little bit of trivia here. He made them get on the ark 7 days before the first drop ever came. Now that's almost embarrassing. We're just sitting here, it'd be like me again, having my boat out here. And I get up on top of it, and I just sit there and say, well, the rain's coming. I'm just going to sit up here on my boat. That'd be cute, wouldn't it? Y'all would really love to go and tell everybody who your preacher was if I did that, wouldn't you? Well, what'd your preacher do? Ah, he's just sitting on his boat. He says the rain's coming one day. Oh, that's the kind of preacher I want to meet. We laugh at that. That's goofy. That's silly. But they actually, before the first drop ever came, you think they're thinking, I wonder when the rain's coming. We're just sitting here. When's the rain coming? There's a timetable for everything. And God's timetable's been fulfilled. Basically, when you look at that, folks, when you look at the word seven, you know that's perfection of God's word. Everything has been done. The ark was built. It was done. It was ready. But even though they got on the ship, the rain didn't start just then. But I want you to listen to me closely. The Lord's coming again. He's coming again. He's told us when, not when, but he's told us how everything has to be in place. And then I will come. Everything's in place. The time has been set. Everything is ready. We hear about it. We hear about it. We hear about it. It's like being on the ark for 7 days and not really knowing when the rain's coming. You need to be ready, because the trumpet can sound today, can sound tomorrow, but it's going to sound. God's people need to get ready. If you're out of church, you need to find your church home. You need to get in it. You need to be ready. God's house is God's ark in this day in which we live. This is a haven here. This is a safe place. This is God's house. You've been told to come. You've been told to get ready. There's a lot of people not here today. A lot of people don't care. But you better get ready. Because when that raindrop comes, we're going to see next week, they would give anything that they had to get on that ark. It's going to come and listen to me closely. No one close, listen to me, internet world. There's a time coming when the trumpet's going to sound. After that trumpet sounds and God's people have left this world, there's going to be a lot of people that's going to be crying and trying to get into God's house. They're going to come in, it's going to be empty. Why didn't they come before the trumpet? God's given every warning, every sign. He told them the time was coming. They wouldn't listen.
they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. We're in a generation today that won't listen. But we better wake up. We better listen. Because just as soon as that rain is coming, that we're going to talk about next week to finish up Noah, the trumpet is coming. It's going to sound. God's people better be ready. God's people better be serious. It's time to wake up. God is on the doorstep. The rain is coming. The trumpet is coming. It's ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Just stand with me, please. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Father, your presence is in this place. Father, we talk about a man who lived so long ago. Yet, Father, he was a man, Father, who had a heart for you. You gave him a job that seemed like an impossible job. But, Father, he took it on. He preached the whole time he was building. No one would come on the boat with him but his family. Oh, Father, we need people today to get on the boat of Jesus. Seems like the world makes more fun. People laugh. People don't seem to care. But one day the time's coming when people are going to care. And then it's going to be too late. Father, today is the day of salvation. If you're watching by internet today, it's a salvation no matter where you're at or what you're doing. All you have to do is bow your heads and invite Jesus into your life. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm in need of grace this hour. Will you come into my heart? Come into my life. Forgive me. Change me. Make me a new person. All you've got to do is pray that, and I don't care what your past is. God will change you, love you, forgive you, as well as those in this audience. The time is today. The moment is now. Jesus is here. Will you come? Will you come? Father, bless these moments. We stand here, all of you, in Jesus' holy name, we pray. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Would you come in the name?